If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. This is the last Sunday of 2025 where we will not have NFL football, and I could not be happier. Now, the Niners get their bye week. Obviously, like, there's different times where the Niners might not be playing, but NFL, it's around nonstop from here on out, man. So this is it. So I had to go live today. Excited to be with you guys. This is episode 1,498. We're getting close to 1,500, which is a milestone. I got to do some giveaways. I got to plan that out. And yeah, I am wearing my Longhorns hat today after yesterday's rough performance. Good Lord, Arch. Come on, man. Still got a lot of faith in them, but, you know, I grew up in Dallas, and like I learned early on, like I don't want to be anything like Cowboy fans. And so when the Cowboys would lose, you wouldn't see any Cowboys like jerseys or hats or whatever or shirts at school. And so like I just always remember just being like, man, these guys, they don't support their team when they're down. So like whenever the Niners would lose, I would always wear my Niners, like a Niners shirt or jersey or something the very next day. It'd be like, hey, go ahead, make fun of me. I don't care. Like, bring it on. I support my team when they win or when they lose. That's what it is. But yeah, they struggled. The defense was incredible. Really, Texans looked great. It just Arch Manning played horrible. And Sarkisian's one of the worst red zone play callers in the freaking. He's one of the best play callers, but sucks so bad in the red zone. Like, he still had a chance to win the game or at least tie the game late. But anyway, I digress. We will wait. I love me some Arch Manning. I'm still supporting him, but yeah, he's got to learn a lot. That accuracy was rough, but the defense was off the charts awesome. I still think that, you know, make it through the SEC, we'll see what happens. But yeah, you got to wait and see what happens. It's what it is. But yeah, I got to support my team, so sorry about that. If that bothers you, I apologize. But hook 'em, baby. So today, really excited about today's show. Spent a lot of time just going through, looking over the past kind of three seasons of the 49ers all the way back to 2017. So the title of the show is the 2025 49ers compared to the 2017 49ers. The first year that Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Robert Saleh were all here. Oh, man. And there are similarities. Like, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of similarities whenever you look at the youth and kind of all the different things that are going on with that. But, and here's where it gets a little bit different, you have a strong base, whereas you didn't 2017. And, you know, I remember the 2019 draft post-press conference. And I referenced this quote a lot. And I really got to go back and try to find it just so I can have the actual clip. But John Lynch is asked, you know, Are you trying to push all your chips in? It was the 2020. I remember it was 2020 draft, right after, you know, 2019 Super Bowl appearance. Then you had the 2020 draft. Are you trying to push all your chips in and like, man, let's try to win a Super Bowl now? Or are you trying to establish sustained success? And John Lynch said, you know, I think that we can do both here. I really do. Take that for whatever you will. And I know there's lots of people that go against. So I talked a little bit about this last week where it's like, you know, I get a lot of questions like, why don't you do what the Rams did and just push all your chips in and guarantee a Super Bowl? And I'm like, dude, that's not what happened. The Rams got so lucky. If Tart doesn't drop the interception, if you don't get that phantom pass interference call in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter against Cooper Kupp, like, dude, they did not guarantee a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl, but man, they got so lucky. Three consecutive games in a row in the fourth quarter, things going their way. That was not a guaranteed Super Bowl. They did win it, though. And so, like, whenever we go back to this idea of John Lynch said, look, when we first came here in 2017, we were just trying to get people that could play our system. And you got, like, Kendrick Bourne, you got Trent Taylor, and you got, like, a lot of these guys that were just not an elite ceiling or whatever else, but they fit your scheme because you're transitioning defense, you know, from an odd to an even front, offensively, from a power scheme to a, you know, zone outside scheme. There were just changes. Shout out to Ozzy going through changes, baby. It's Black Sabbath. Anyway, I don't know why I went there, but that's where my head goes. But then the change went to, now we're looking for cornerstone pieces. Well, that's the biggest difference. And we'll talk about rookie playing time and how much they have played versus what they're going to play this year. That's probably the biggest difference. Is you're relying on rookies even more than you did in 2017. We'll give you the data to back that up. But you have stalwarts. You have proven commodities on this roster right now. And I think that that's where the difference is. The biggest difference between 2017 Niners and 2025 Niners is, look, you have six all pros. You have a franchise quarterback. You have Diamador Lenore, who's not an all pro. He didn't fit into that category yet. And then you've got these super sophomores. Like, you have a base. Again, you talk about the six all pros. You know, Kyle Juszczyk, you have to put him in there, right? He's an all pro now. Trent Williams, right? Come on, man. George Kittle, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, like Christian McCaffrey. That's. Nobody else has that, and you can say, well, Trent's, you know, 37. You've got Christian McCaffrey's 29, which is really old for running backs, coming off the injured season. Ah, like, how do you do that? Doesn't matter. You have premium talent all across this roster. You have a premium offensive lineman. You have a premium skill position. You have a premium defensive lineman. You have a premium linebacker. You have a premium secondary player and Diamondor Lenore. I know he doesn't have all pro yet, and I don't know where in the category he fits, because I don't put him in there with the all pro players. But come on, man, that dude, he's a top 10 corner. Then you got your super sophomores, right? Ricky Pearsall, Dominique Pooney, Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa whenever he comes back. Like, you have this baseline plus a franchise quarterback. Brock Purdy is that. Brock Purdy is that. He is that. Now, you go back to 2017. You had two Pro Bowlers on that roster, and they weren't even first-team Pro Bowlers. They were second-team Pro Bowlers. Kyle Juszczyk, who's still with the team, and Joe Staley. Love me some Joe Staley. Love me some Joe Staley. But he was never an All-Pro. He's never a first-team All-Pro. I want to make sure I got that. I know he was second-team All-Pro several times. But, like, and, you know, I've always said this, like, I consider Joe Staley the best offensive tackle in 49ers history until Trent Williams showed up. You know, Joe Staley had six Pro Bowls. He was on the Hall of Fame 2010 all-decade team, but he never had one all-pro. Never did. Like, Joe Staley, Trent Williams, you know, you had so many different guys that just kept winning those all-pros. I did think that he was second-team all-pro several times, though. Yeah, let's see here. Second team in 2011, 2012, second team in 2013, second team in 2017. Like, but he was never first team. I love Joe Staley. Like, you will never hear me say anything negative about that man. I love that dude. But, like, all pro, like, he was not. He was second team. So now, like, you look at the difference between 2017, you're just trying to fit the scheme. You're trying to fit the, you're trying to build out your team. You had two Pro Bowlers, Kyle Juszczyk, Joe Staley, to 2025, six All Pros. Yeah, you know, if you're just looking at Pro Bowlers, like, all right, you're sitting at like 10 potential Pro Bowlers. Can Pearsall, Pooney, Green, Mustafa get into that territory? Can D'Amador, Lenore get into that territory? They just have to play like they played. The Pro Bowl has turned into, it's still used as a metric, but like it's a popularity thing, obviously. Like fans vote, writers, you know, make up the other part of it. But it still is a demarcation line. It's built into contract incentives. And it's a measurement of the quality that you play if you're at the top of your position. The 49ers have potentially 11 to 12 Pro Bowlers on this roster. They really, really do, which is a lot. That's crazy. It's just a lot. Badger says Brindle's a top 15 center. Considering he was the 34th ranked center out of 32 centers that started last year, I don't know. Now, if you're just talking pass pro, I do think that he fits that mold. I do think that he's the top 15 pass pro center. I know you're just trying to get a rise out of me, and I respect that. Monkey Boy, appreciate you so much. I love this comment. Ball has to bounce your way sometimes in the NFL, no matter how good you are. Niner injury bug is an injury elephant over the last several years outside of 2023. Ball's got to bounce your way. And a lot of that you have to take into, you've got to make it bounce your way. Like, you go to the Super Bowl in 2023. Chiefs fumbled 8 times. Only lost one. 49ers fumbled twice, lost both. Like, yeah, hustle or whatever else. 49ers don't preach that. Back to Jake Brindle. It's okay to quit while the play's still going on. Like, he's done it for consecutive years, 3 years in a row now. Like, we don't teach that. Other teams teach that. You know, watching Hard Knocks, man. And like, again, you know, the Buffalo Bills have a winning established team. I mean, they're, what do they want? 7 division titles in a row or something like that? Like, and maybe it's 5, but whatever. Like, a lot. They haven't won a Super Bowl. I understand that. But, like, Joe Brady, their offensive play caller, having the entire coaching staff in a meeting talking about hustling to the ball. We do not stop. We do not assume that the other guy's going to make the tackle. He's the offensive coordinator, coaching the special teams guys up with a lot of assuming going on here. You got to hustle the ball. Go help your guys up. Like, that is a coaching thing that you pound into the brains of players. We don't do that. You watch Darrell Luter Jr. this last preseason game. Abysmal performance special teams, just quits. 3 reps in a row, just quits on special teams, still makes the roster. Like, we don't preach that. That's not something the 49ers preach, is like this relentless effort, go to the ball. The number one effort guy on the defense through the preseason is a rookie, Alfred Collins. That dude hustling all over the place. Still got a lot of development to go, but like, it says a lot that the elite effort on your team is rookies. Nick Martin, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, come on. Like, we can coach that up. We coach that up. They don't, but I wish that they would. There's a lot of things that they do right, the coaching staff, the scheme, intelligence, off the charts. But, yeah, assumptions get you into trouble. Thank you, Ben. He says, hashtag CC, like the Longhorn lid. I'll take any Longhorn compliments I can get in my current state. It is rough out there. My phone was blowing up yesterday. I had to silence it just because, and that's okay. Like, I bring it on. Whenever the Cowboys do something stupid, I'm going after them. So all those Cowboy fans that are not Longhorn fans, they came for me yesterday. That's okay. Bring it on. I got thick skin.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over 3 seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than 1 rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Slavic Niner. Dude, love it. Niner's going to run it straight at Seattle. Workhorse Robinson Jr. going to break them down. I really, really do hope. And, you know, we started, shout out to Josh, we started our research on, you know, when we're in season mode, which we're getting into now, like, we do film breakdowns Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We do our scouting report on Thursday. We do our predictions, all that kind of stuff. And, like, I'm already starting to dive into Seattle film. It is fun. And, yeah, the way to beat Seattle is to run the damn football. That is established. You have to run the football. You have to get pressure on Sam Darnold. I really hope that Brian Robinson Jr. gets work early. I know he just joined the team, and he's going to have right at 2 weeks of practice. Like, that's enough. I mean, he was practicing with Washington, obviously, before he came in here. So football shape's not an issue for him. It's just, is he going to know all the terminology and all that? Probably not 100% early, but hopefully he gets, you know, 10-plus carry. I want that dude to get 10-plus touches. I prefer him to be carries. But I don't think that he's going to reach his full involvement in this offense till we get to week 4 or 5. I think it's going to take time. It's just different. And, you know, is he going to get all that work? The good news is that they are resting CMC in practice where, you know, he goes full 2 days, takes a day off, goes full 2 days, takes a day off, doesn't go all out in team all the time and whatever else. So Brian Robinson Jr. is getting those reps. Kyle Shanahan has been very clear. He's the running back too. He needs to be the running back too. Oh, gosh, 30-plus rush attempts in Seattle would make me so happy. Gosh, man. Yeah, Slavic, this season is going to be exciting. Yes, I agree. Love the draft. Prepare. It is here. Oh, man. Now, what are you going to do when they put eight in the box? Because they're going to. You're going to see that odd front where you have five across the defensive line, six across the defensive line, safety walked up on the perimeter. Yeah, Mike McDonald has done that to the 49ers several times. Like that is something that has happened when he was with Baltimore and played the 49ers, and it worked. But you cannot allow that to take out your game plan. You cannot allow that to take out your game plan. You go big on big. Thank you, Notorious, my fullback aficionado. 21-22 personnel. You notice he put two first. He's got to have that fullback. Also 12 personnel. Go big. Go big on big. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Yeah, Ben says, you know, Brian Robinson comes with 600 carries. He's stayed healthy. He has been the iron horse, you know, working back, whatever you want to say. Like, yeah, he's been that. So I'd love that. Invader. If Kyle asks, I'm telling him I'd restrict CMC touches to 20 per game until playoffs, 1,000%. Some of those touches need to be in the passing game. You don't have to run them into the ground. But just recently this week, Kyle says, yeah, whenever Christian McCaffrey comes off the field, we feel confident Brian Robinson can, you know, step in and we don't have to miss a beat. And it's just like, no, he doesn't have to come off the field. Keep him on the field. That's fine. Just don't. You're allowed to have two backs out there. You're allowed to have two backs out there. Kyle, you're allowed to have two backs out there. Eric, appreciate the super chat. Big J, glad I could catch you live as always. I appreciate your analysis and all that you do. Thank you so much. Appreciate the kind words. Agreed on Brian Robinson. Get him involved. Get him involved. Don't let him just stand on the sidelines. Please don't do that. Run the ball. Come on, man. Come on. Let's go. Strawberry, run it 50 times. Brock should throw the ball at all. I don't want to see a single pass. Yeah, I don't know if I want to go that far, but I wouldn't be mad. And, you know, the passing game, it should go through three players. I'm going to keep saying this till I'm blue in the face. Or really, red in the face is more appropriate for me. Ricky Pearsall, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, in whatever order. Like, those are your three guys. Yeah, you've got to have wide receivers out there. Russell Gage is going to play. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to play. I think Jordan Watkins is going to play. Who knows on Juwan Jennings? We just did a whole episode on that. Who knows about Kendrick Bourne coming in Friday? Needs to be a run heavy, established, everything. Like, it really, really does. You're going to have to throw the ball some, but man, screens, pop passes, jet sweeps, quick outs. The one thing that I will go to, and the one thing that I really want to see, Brock Purdy's best pass, and this has been since he's coming to the league in 2023. So we have three seasons now, I guess, 2022, sorry. We have three seasons of this established. He loves the out route. That's his best pass, which is crazy because Brock Purdy doesn't have the strong arm, right? Like, if you go to the combine, the way that they measure arm strength, opposite hash, deep out. That's the measure. Everybody thinks it's the bomb and whatever else, and I know, like, people that don't understand football, like, that's what they're going to put up there. Like, oh, look at this rocket arm. No, no, no. The way that you measure arm strength, opposite hash, deep out route, opposite hash. That's how you measure it. Brock Purdy doesn't have a strong arm. He has the weakest arm on the team by a lot. Well, I guess it's just him and McCorkle, but McCorkle has a stronger arm. Not by a lot, but it's better. Brock Purdy's had the weakest arm on the team of every team he's ever been on. Like, that's not how he wins. He wins with anticipation, getting through read progressions, quick, and accuracy. That's how he wins. His favorite route is the out route. You look at when Brandon Ayuk was healthy and Brock identified man coverage, it was a speed out route. It was a quick out route. It was a deep out route to Ayuk all the time. Well, whenever Ayuk got hurt, then it turned into Kittle. Whenever I could identify man coverage, we're going to get Kittle in the quick out. I want to see, and you even heard Brock Purdy talk about this, I want to see Ricky Pearsall being that go-to. Whenever that man coverage, you're going to load the box, cool. I can identify man coverage to Ricky Pearsall, number one outside. We're going to can. We're going to switch to a quick out. Boom, right there. Can that be developed? You remember Brock Purdy said, you know, last year with Ricky Pearsall, it was, dude, I need you to do this every time. I need you to break in front of him. It's not about separation. It's not about breaking the corner's ankles. I need you to break at this time on this step in front of the corner, no matter what. Can you get that type of dependency, and can Ricky Pearsall be added to that kind of comfort blanket? Look, I know it's man coverage. We're going quick out route to Pearsall on the outside. We haven't really seen that. Saw a little bit of it at the end of last season, but not to where it was like dependable, right? That's what I want to see. So, like, man, I want to see quick out routes to Kittle and Pearsall. I want that to be the new dependable whatever. That's what I want to see. But again, let's go back. You got to run the ball. Again, I talked about this last episode. You know, this week I'm going to be working on my season-long bets. And let me explain kind of how this works on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon, because I got a lot of questions. And here's the deal. If you sign up for the 49ers Rush and you put on there, do not contact me, that blocks us from being able to email you or text you. So you can send in questions, but we can't respond. Just throwing that out there for two individuals. I don't want to put their names out there. But, you know, the way that we fund everything here at the 49ers and, like, you know, the road trips that we do, those are net zero. Like, we spend what we make. And if we make money, we donate to a charity that's local there. And then we bank some of that money so that we can pay for the players, like Frank Gore coming out. We're hoping to get Frank out twice. He's going to be at Seattle with this week one. But, like, how we make money is, like, the income that I bring in, it's through sponsors, the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. We have friend of the show, which is, you know, $1 to $2 a month. You get like one to two video, like one video a week, some of this stuff. If you want every video breakdown we do, which there's over 500 plus on there, we do every offensive, defensive, special teams play all year. That's Frank Gore tier. All right. That's $8 a month. And then if you want our betting, our Zoom hangouts, and all the film, that's the Jerry Rice tier. That's $20 a month. And again, just because you don't watch all the tape, like, a lot of people just want to support the show, so they sign up at whatever tier they're comfortable with, and some of them don't even watch it, which I really do appreciate. I want to engage. I want to teach. I want to educate. I want you to get the value. But yeah, you can sign up however you want. Now, one of the bets that we already put up, and I just talked about this, that Brock Purdy under 32.5 pass attempts week one. You got to run the ball to win the game. If Brock Purdy's throwing the ball 34 times, the 49ers probably not going to win this game. It's just not in the cards. And so if you are going to bet, we'll post all of our season-long bets this week. But if you are going to bet, you got to do it here.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. So this season, stop celebrating like it's 2009 and start betting like it's 2025. Whether you're hammering spreads, chasing the lines, riding money shot parlays, my favorite, teasers are my favorite bet ever. And like, I just tell people this all the time. You're betting with the odds and with the house instead of against it. Check out teasers if you haven't done it. It's our specialty, and it's where we make most of our money. But MyBookie is your one-stop sportsbook and casino in one. So one account, one wallet. You bet football all weekend, then you want to play slots. You want to play blackjack. It's all. You don't have to switch apps, no jumping platforms, just straight-up action. And if you're new to MyBookie, man, they've got a new huge promo. Use our code 49ers, 49ERS, on your first bet, up to $500, it's fully covered. So you make your play. If it doesn't hit, you get it right back with a bet back bonus. No stress. And it comes with just a one-time rollover on return bet. So you're free to reload and keep firing. If you don't know about reloads, ask them their customer service. Trust me, that is there. But again, a one-time rollover, that is huge. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Code 49ers, 49ERS, claim your bet back bonus. Make this football season the one where bragging rights come with a bankroll. My bookies, where bettors win together, because bragging's good, but cashing in is better.
Shout out to Slavic. Appreciate the super chat. He says, Niners, keep up the great content. Man, I'm liking a lot of these messages. Thank you so much, Slavic. Strawberry, if you don't want to throw the ball, then cut Brock and just play Mac. I wouldn't go that far at all. I think it's more of an indictment of the wide receivers against the strength of their team. Like, how do certain teams build? If you look at the entire kind of Baltimore defensive coaching tree that Mike McDonald has put out, you look at Miami, you look at Baltimore, you look at the Seattle Seahawks, they build corners in. That's how, and shoot, the Dallas Cowboys are now a part of this as well, right? Just signed Deron Bland for more money than D'Amador Lenore is getting, which is bat shit crazy. Like, that dude, yeah, if you want to talk pick sixes, that's huge for Deron Bland. But now they have not one but two corners that are the biggest boom-bust corners in the NFL. And Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland. Gamble corners that get toasted every single game, but they don't care if they get one interception. They're fine giving up 150 yards receiving and two touchdowns a game, but if you get one interception, it counteracts that. That's their philosophy. The Niners don't have that theory at all. The Niners are a shell defense. Where they keep everything underneath them, rally and tackle. Don't give up the big play. D'Amador Lenore didn't give up one touchdown last year. Deron Bland gives up about a touchdown a game. And again, just talk about, like, I think that that is just backwards philosophy. You build around a 26-year-old pass rusher in Micah Parsons, not Trayvon Diggs and not Deron Bland. It'd be different if they were shut down corners, but they're the opposite of that. And so, like, how did Seattle build their team? The strength of their defense is their secondary. Now, they are kind of building up of the defensive line, brought in Dexter Lawrence, right? You draft Byron Murphy early. You've got Leonard Williams. Like, they've got three elite defensive tackles with quality secondary plays. So how do you counteract that? Man, you run the ball on the perimeter. If those defensive tackles, like, yeah, I'm cool with power run game for sure, an inside gap, but you run the ball on the perimeter. So if they're going to bring it up and they're going to try to stack the front with outside pressure, this is why the 49ers don't do so many jet sweeps anymore, is they put people in those outside C and D gaps that just sit there. Well, okay, so the perimeter runs are neutralized. You have defensive tackles. That's where the out routes. That's where you identify man coverage. You beat that. You go to that. And right here at Vader, I want to see that slot fade to Pearsall. Pearsall's my biggest critique of Pearsall and why I didn't have a first-round grade on him is because he doesn't take the top off the defense. He doesn't win on fades or go routes. He can win on post routes. He can win on slot fades. You saw that at Florida. You saw that at Arizona State. And we've seen that a little bit in the NFL, not too much. He's more the horizontal separator. But man, if Ricky Pearsall can add the vertical component to his game, watch out, man. And I'm as high on Pearsall as can be. And I hated the pick. I really, really did. I thought Ladd McConkey, if you were going to go that way, should have went that. And, you know, Ladd McConkey still. But Ricky Pearsall, listen to me now, was 100% worth that number 31 overall pick. 100% was worth it. Were there better picks on the board? Sure. But here we are a year removed. The wide receiver room's the worst in the NFL. So, like, that's all you got. Like, there was, like, some league report, like, oh, breaking. Ricky Pearsall to be the number one wide receiver. Duh. Like, have you not paid attention at all this offseason? There is literally nobody else. There is literally nobody else. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Ed, John, I just noticed my 3-year badge is missing. Not sure why. Man, YouTube is going through some hiccups. I don't have access to manipulate, control, or anything like that. YouTube takes all control. So all you got to do is just message them, and it usually gets corrected. But yeah, YouTube gives us no control. So like, again, if this is the 49ersrush.com, I could do everything. I can make sure that you get what you need, on Patreon, not near as much. And on YouTube, almost zero. So I apologize about that, but I'm so thankful for your support. I know that you've been there, and like, that is huge for us. And one of the things that allows me to do this full time. So Ed, love you guys. And if y'all are having any other issues, man, it is. Reach out to YouTube, please. And you're not the only one with that issue. I can't manipulate anything on my side. They do not allow me to do that, sadly. What's up, Captain? Can't wait to see you next week, man. He's always in Seattle, and I cannot wait. It's going to be an absolute blast. Absolute blast. Observe, the 49ers front office, along with Kyle, have made mistake after mistake. Jake Moody, hey, man, you got to be negative. This roster is going to give you that opportunity. And so here's my question. Yeah, I'm not a Jake Moody guy. Yeah, I'm not going to defend him at all. The youth movement, this was the second part of, you know, my notes, talking about the difference between the 2017 Niners and 2025. I went back through last year. Let's just talk defensively, okay? Last year, week one for the 49ers. You know how many rookie defensive snaps the 49ers had last year on defense? Zero. Not one rookie logged a snap defensively last year for the 49ers in that week one game for the 49ers defense. It was a bad defense, and it was old defense. Okay? 2023, week one, season opener, defensive snaps, zero. No rookie snaps last year defensively, week one, or 2 years. So in the past 2 years, zero defensive snaps week one. Now let's go back to 2022. You had two separate rookies get snaps, neither one with the team. Samuel Womack got 26 snaps. He was the starting nickel guy. And Drake Jackson got 17 snaps and just pass rusher only role. So 43 snaps. So in the past three seasons combined, you've had 43 defensive rookie snaps. Now let's transfer to 2025. Good Lord. Rookies that I know 100% will get snaps week one, barring an injury from now till then. Mikael Williams, 100% getting snaps. Probably going to start. Alfred Collins, not going to start. I think he's going to be in that Bravo group. He's going to get about 20 snaps. CJ West, not going to start, not after the injury. He was slated to possibly start. It's going to be Kalia Davis and Jordan Elliott. I'm telling you right now. CJ West is getting snaps 100% in rotation aspect. Now, Upton Stout, is he starting? Or is it Chase Lucas? Because for Upton Stout, it's like zero snaps or 40 snaps. Do you get them like one or two series? Like, it's anywhere in between zero and 40. Might not play at all. Might start. Don't know. Marquise Siegel, kind of same thing. I think they're going to start Jair Brown, and it makes me sick to my stomach. And, you know, you talk about the front office and like mistakes. I would not play Jair Brown. I just would not. He has proven he cannot tackle in this preseason. I'm not putting somebody out there that can't tackle. I'm just not. Now, if you put Marquise Siegel out there and he gets toasted in coverage, then you can make the change. But I'm not starting a safety that has proven back-to-back years he will not tackle. And it's not an effort issue. He'll go in there full speed, Jair Brown. He just will not bring his arms. He will not wrap up. He will not break down. He just runs full speed and dives like Timmy Torpedo and is horrible football, and he has not learned. I would not put Jair Brown out there, but I think that they will. And so Marquise Siegel, zero or 50 snaps. I don't know. But like, bare minimum, Mikael Williams getting 25 snaps, probably maybe more. Bare minimum, Alfred Collins, maybe 15 to 20 snaps. Bare minimum, CJ West, 15 to 20 snaps. Like, if we're just talking bare minimum, that's already 85 snaps just for those three players. That doesn't even count Upton Stout. That doesn't even count Marquise Siegel. And if you elevate, you know, Evan Anderson or Sebastian Valdez or Travis Gibson, like that's just extra. Like, the biggest difference between 2025 and 2027, it's rookie playing time on the defensive side. That is, and look, you know, shout out to Kevin Molina. He's awesome on Twitter. Great dude. The 49ers have only had three rookie starters on the defensive side since 2017. One rookie started 2017. That was Reuben Foster. He was on the team for a year. Didn't work out. One rookie started 2018. That was Fred Warner. And then one rookie started 2022. That was Sam Womack. That didn't last long. Drake Jackson got some rotation ability, but that's three defensive starters defensively in eight seasons for the 49ers since Shanahan showed up. Now, you're guaranteed Mikael Williams is going to start. I don't think Upton Stout might. Marquise Siegel might. I don't think Alfred Collins or CJ West will week one, but like, you're talking about mirroring 8 years of rookie starters week one in week one. 8 years combined, you're about to hit that. That is the difference. The reliance. It is this youth movement, this youth quake. I kind of like that word. I was going to tab at that, but I was like, yeah, it's a little too cool. I'm not that cool. Don't try to be that cool. But youth quake is what I wanted to go with. Instead, I titled it youth movement. Not cool. But, you know, stay in your lane. Don't be too cool if you're not cool. I'm not cool. So I don't want to be that cool guy. Youthquake's cool, though. That would have been cool. I had like a cool graphic. I was like, nah, don't be that guy. anyway, so that's the biggest difference, right? It's like, man, even 2017, you didn't rely on rookies this much. Now, offensively, a little bit different story. Little bit different story, right? 2024 offense. Last year, you had two rookies get snaps. One start, Dominique Pooney got 72 snaps. Isaac Rendle got three snaps. So 75 offensive snaps last year for rookies in week one. Go back to 2023, 2 years ago. Ronnie Bell got eight snaps. Rotation only. Obviously, that didn't work out. So eight snaps. Go back to 2022. Spencer Burford got the start. 68 snaps. So you got two rookie starters on the offensive side the past 3 years, both at guard. Now, I don't think that, you know, I'm assuming Dominique Pooney's going to be healthy. I'm assuming Ben Bartsch is going to be healthy. Those are your two guard starters. If not, Connor Colby's playing. Drew Moss is on the roster, but I don't think, I don't even think he would rotate in. I think he's the long-term play. Consistency's not there. Connor Colby's consistency is a little bit better. And Jordan Watkins, I think, gets snaps, maybe 15, but he's not going to start. He's not going to start. Like MVS, Russell Gage, Ricky Pearsall would start, and we're sure as hell not going to be out in 11 personnel the first snap anyway. It's going to be 12 or 21. It's probably going to be 21. Might be 12. I don't know. What's that first play going to be? I think 12 or 21. I think it's going to be 12. I think it's going to be 12. Anyway, I'm arguing myself over here. But like, you're not going to get a lot of offensive rookie snaps. The offense is kind of returned, right? And the only place that you would is if one of those guards can't go and Connor Colby starts. Guard, they trust young guys. Again, Spencer Burford started, and so did Dominique Pooney. Connor Colby could be that guy, but I think it's going to be Ben Bartsch. So offensively, you are not there. You're just not there. Eric, appreciate the super chat. Man, you are the man. He says, just signed up for the 49ers rush after meaning to do so for some time and happy to be a part of the club, John. Thank you so much. How does your show, here we go. Hot. Oh yeah. Goes your show. Demo was a great deal. Yeah. If you talk about the Deron Bland deal, who just got paid more than Demo, what a freaking great deal. Thank you, Eric, because that was a value play. Value play. And you got him cheaper than Deron Bland. I'm telling you this right now. I do not know. I think Deron Bland is their best corner. I would take Deron Bland over Trayvon Diggs because he will tackle. Like, I do not like corners like Akella Witherspoon that just don't tackle. Akella Witherspoon's gotten better in his career. He's starting for the Rams. We'll see him twice this year. But like, he's still soft. Jaron Bland's not soft. Like, he is tough. He will tackle. He will go for the pick, right? Like, what do you have? 5 pick 6, which is incredible. But also, how many touchdowns has he given up? I want to see this. Sorry, I apologize. This is not great show. But like, I want to see how many touchdowns they have given him as, you know, just somebody, how many, what's it called? Touchdowns he's given up in coverage. Let me just pull this up real quick. He's given up 11 touchdowns in 3 seasons, Jaron Bland. That PFF has a, again, 11. Now, he's got 14 picks, which is off the charts awesome. That is great. No doubt about it. 19 missed tackles. Like, not a good, he's a good tackler, decent. For the Cowboys, he's good. But, yeah, he's given up 11 touchdowns, like, in his career. Like, that's not good, all right? Now we look at Diamador Lenore. In 4 years, right, he's played way more. He's given up 5 touchdowns. Gave up 0 last year. So, yeah, that's the difference. He's given up less than half of the touchdowns with more snaps, more games, more years played. Less than half. You see what I'm saying? And you paid more for that. Now, shoot, Demo's got 8 picks. Duran's got 14. Yeah, that's way more. He's got 6 more. That's great. The ball skills are there. But shoot, man, even if you look at missed tackles, like, Demo's got fewer missed tackles per year, and he's played more. Yeah, the 49ers got a deal. Now, the contracts are always going to ascend, and the Cowboys had to put some positive publicity out there after the Micah Parsons, you know, got hosed there. Yeah, I think that's huge. Right here, yeah, Notorious Gabe says, you know, Jordan Watkins will be our return guy week 1, probably. I think I want him to be. I think, you know, obviously Sky Moore is going to be your primary return guy, but who's that second kick returner? Is it Isaac Garrido? He's not taking RB1 or 2 snaps now. What are you going to do with him? I wouldn't put him back there at kick returner just because of the fumbling issues. I want it to be Jordan Watkins. That's who I want it to be, but yeah, I don't know. You cut. Dallas Flowers took all of your reps, and Junior Bergen took all of your reps at kick returner all preseason. They took them all. They took them all. Neither one of them are on the roster. I guess Junior Bergen is, like, that was so nearsighted. But Jordan Watkins was banged up. I know he got some practice reps there. But, like, yeah, I hated the way that played out. Like, they just, Junior Bergen's going to make this team. And sure as hell didn't. And, like, oh, he's going to be our return guy. And it was just like, man, you put all of your eggs into that basket, and it cost you. So, like, you're going out there week 1 with guys that have not practiced it full speed. It's going to be Sky Moore had, like, 2 reps, but he was back there with Dallas Flowers. I don't know. I don't think that they handled that well. And they kind of punted last minute at it and all those different things. But anyway, take that for what you will. Now, the 49ers have released their schedule jersey breakdown, something brand new from the 49ers that I am a big fan of, and their jersey selections next.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, so come join us, Seattle. Week 1, man, we are close. We're like 5 days away. I freaking love it, man. So the day before Saturday, we're going to be at the press box with Frank Gore. Autographs are available to buy now. He'll sign everything. He is such a freaking stud. That's why we work with him all the time, is, you know, he's going to show up. You know, he's going to sign everybody. He is there for the fans. He loves it. He loves it. So come join us, Frank Gore. We're going to be out there with Seattle Faithful Chapter at the press box from 2 to 6 p.m. But the party's going to be going out of the press box all damn day, right next to the stadium, 1 block south. Right next to the waterfront of the stadium. Come out, our tailgate premium. A walk to the stadium was great. And then the next week, week two, we're going back-to-back weeks on the road at New Orleans for our invasion weekend. We're going to be at the Bourbon Street Drinkery. If I can't say it sober, I don't know how I'm going to say it on my birthday weekend. But it's going to be a blast. We rented out both floors right there on Bourbon Street. Come join us. Kids always free. And then our tailgate. Gosh, the tailgate of all tailgates. The mother of all tailgates. Barbecue, King's Cake, Seafood Station, premium drinks, two blocks from the Superdome, and it's my birthday. You got to come join us. Get on the TickPick app, search 49ers Rush, or just the link in the description of this video. That's probably the best way to take you right to where all of our events are. Come check it out. It's going to be freaking epic. I cannot wait. So the jerseys, the 49ers came out and announced what jerseys they're going to be wearing. This is probably one of the most questions I get is anytime somebody goes to a game, they want to match the jerseys of the team, especially the road games. And so I'll get like 20 to 25 messages, you know, 2 days before, hey, what jerseys are the 49ers wearing? I don't mind that. Like if that's the, if that's my role to the faithful, I will fulfill that role. So we've tweeted out already what jerseys with pictures that they're wearing every week. So, you know, I probably should bookmark that tweet so I can send it out to everybody. But the 49ers are wearing whites. The 49ers are wearing whites for the first 6 weeks of the season. For the very first time, they are going to be wearing their white jerseys at home early because of how hot it is with the direct sunlight and all that stuff. And I'm telling you right now, this is 100%. Yeah, it's white jerseys basically all weeks. It is basically, you know, that Tampa Bay game. Tampa Bay and Miami have been doing this for decades, and I hate that it took the 49ers so damn long to learn, hey, if you're the home team, you get to pick your jersey color first, and the road team has to go corresponding. So if you pick whites, they have to wear darks. And so the 49ers wearing their red darks at home early is stupid, has been stupid. Like, I love the red jerseys. They're awesome. Whites are my favorite, but man, you see what Miami and you see what, you know, Tampa Bay did it to us last year. I was at that game where Tampa Bay wore their whites, forced the 49ers to wear the red throwbacks, and it was freaking hot, humid as hell. Half the stadium was underneath the stadium. It was so hot. I drank four bottles of water, like those giant $20 ones. I didn't even go to the bathroom. I was sweating so much, but I wasn't going to miss a play. I don't want to miss plays like Jake Moody missed kicks. Missed three kicks that game. Oh, anyway, they won. But the 49ers are wearing their white jerseys week one, week two, week four, week five, week six, week eight, week nine, week 11, week 13, week 16. They're current whites. They're wearing their throwback 94 whites just 1 week. And that's the home opener for, you know, the Cardinals week three. Like, that's crazy to me because those are my favorite. The white 94 throwbacks are my favorite. They're wearing the red throwbacks week seven Falcons. And then week 17 Bears, and they're wearing their traditional reds only three times. Week 10 Rams, week 12 Carolina, week 15 Tennessee. So that's kind of the jersey breakdown. And again, I'm bookmarking this tweet as we speak so that I can send it to you guys whenever I get messaged. And I try to answer all of them, but if you message me the day of an event and I'm already working, like, then I can't get to it. So I apologize about that. It's going to be a lot of white jerseys. And so that's what it is. Notorious says, I might have to get a white jersey, but I want one of the new jerseys. New jerseys, the black ones. Again, you don't want to wear those to San Francisco early. Good Lord, you will die. They're not even available for sale till September 10th. And they're going to sell out quick as hell, as they always do. They never have the demand meetup. I am trying. I'm going through every source I've ever had for jerseys, trying to get as many as I can. But I've not had any success. So if you know of anybody that can get the black jerseys, let me know so that I can do those for giveaways at all of our road trip events and make people happy. Man, imagine giving one of those to the kiddos, how happy they'll be. Like, again, I became a fan because of a jersey. Like, let's freaking extend that. So if you know anybody or know any way of getting those jerseys made, hit me up, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Strawberry, they're only wearing the red primaries three times. It's just too hot. And the way they built that stadium, man, they completely goofed that one. But it's what it is. It's what it is. Right here, Monkey says, random question. Do you think there will be issues moving forward with Morstead and the much quicker kicks for Moody, given the two-step approach? Man,
that process is quick. And again, we broke down every single field goal, extra point in the preseason since the process has been changed. Jake Moody still sucks. I don't know what else to say. He's not good. But, man, that is, like, used to, because, like, I pause, you know, as the snap takes place and the coaching tape is behind the kicker or in front of the kicker, so you can see, like, the straight line. We judge the snap. We judge the hold, and can he get the laces outside? But, man, he is spinning as that kick is taking place. Now, last year, the problem was almost every single kick of Jake Moody was blocked. Like, they got so close. Every single team knew Jake Moody's long windup, you're going to have time to get close to blocking the kick. Now, nobody's close to blocking it. It's just, can Jake Moody and the hold, like, that's going to be something to watch. Because he's not getting that ball fully rotated. Because you catch it, put it down, then you spin the laces outside, right? Laces out, Dan. He's spinning that ball as contact is being made sometimes. And this is very unorthodox. Teams don't do this. So this decreases the chances of blocked kicks. But, I mean, Jake Moody's not known as a kicker, but I haven't seen one bad hold from Morstead. You know, the biggest thing with, you know, going back to our kicker Wisnowski, I thought he was the best holder in the NFL. Like, that dude never had one bad hold. Like, he was incredible. So I don't know. We're gonna have to see, but I can guarantee you this: if Jake Moody starts making kicks, somebody, you know, we all know who it is gonna be making excuses for him. And you'll see that all across the Twitter sphere and whatever else. It's definitely not Jake Moody's fault. It's going to be somebody else's or an injury. Keep in mind, this dude did miss 3 kicks in 3 consecutive playoff games. And before he was injured, I know everybody likes to discount that, but how much you lose the Super Bowl by in overtime? Okay. All right. Just throwing that out there. Man, you'll make me mad. But I do want Jordan Watkins to be a return guy. I really do. Tommy, I appreciate the negativity as always. You are so consistent, my friend. Tommy's the best. John, over under 1.5 games healthy for Ben Bartsch. The funny thing is, you're not too far off. Last year, he played in 3 games with 2 injuries. You go back to 2023, he played a combined 13 games for 2 teams, but also got injured that game. You go back to 2022, he played 5 games. Now, his first 2 years in the system, 2020, he played 13. 2021, he played 15. Injuries have been his issue. He played way better than Aaron Banks twice last year, got injured both times. Like, I don't know. He's already got 2 injuries through training camp. How could this, like, and I'm with you right here. Colby will be starting by week 2. I want him to have more time. Like, I would love Ben Bartsch to start this entire season and just allow Colby to learn, develop, have that redshirt year, step in, start. But Colby's going to be starting at some point this year. There's no doubt about it. I would say probably I'd put the over under week 3.5. You're saying week 2. I would not be shocked at all. Invader under, I say before camp, if Bartsch can't stay on the field, Connor Colby will take his job. The biggest question with Colby is just consistency and really all rookies. All young players, consistency is the measuring stick. That's what made Fred Warner so special. It's like, dude stepped in, started week 1. He's been one of the most consistent players in the NFL. Like, that is uncanny. That is unreal. Even Dominic Pooney, who was awesome last year. Like, to say awesome, like, Dominic Pooney was unbelievable last year. But you watch him versus that Rams game, that was really, really bad. It's not like he was perfect. He struggled. There was another game that he really struggled against, too. Let me pull this up real quick. Sorry. Because again, like, when we're looking at Dominic Pooney, like, he is an absolute stud, but it's not like every game was perfect. That week 15 game against the Rams, he got worked over. Green Bay, Kenny Clark, we're making fun of the Micah Parsons. Kenny Clark worked that dude over. Week 12, it was really bad. And then week 3 against the Rams again, like, that dude, he had 4 bad games. Minnesota, Harrison Bryant, Rams, Kobe Turner. KC didn't do great, but the Green Bay game, Kenny Clark. All those guys are the same type. Power, undersized, great leverage, defensive tackles. Like, work that dude over. Yeah, we're talking 4 game sample size. He had scores of 52 against Minnesota, 55 against the Rams,
50 against Green Bay, 57 against the Rams. So, like, man, if you could have more Dominique Poonies, you're signing up right now. Every single team in the NFL would. But it's not like he was awesome. The consistency, you're talking four rough games that were not good. Were bad. And the film showed it. Like, he struggled with that. Can Connor Colby match that, right? So let's say we put Connor Colby in and he starts 15 games. How many bad games is Connor Colby going to have? I think it's going to be more than four. Now, is that better than Ben Bartsch? I don't know. Hey, Ben Bartsch is going to be more consistent. He's played in the league. He's got starting. I mean, Ben Bartsch has started 22 games. He's played in 49. The injuries are freaking hilarious. Not hilarious, but it's almost comical. Right? When we're talking Niners and injuries, and especially Ben Bartsch, it's just like, good Lord, there's a couple players, and this is something I continue to work on. Like, dude, Ben Bartsch is a freaking human being. Like, it's not funny whenever he gets hurt, but it does get to the point where it's just like, you know, dumb and dumber. Like, we got no jobs. We got no car. Our pets' heads are falling off. Like, it feels that way with guys like Isaac Garendo or Ben Bartsch or, shoot, I don't know, somebody else fill in the blank. Like, it's hard not to, like, if you don't laugh, you cry. It's just like, golly, really? Another one? Another one. And that dude's just so many injuries. And it affects things. Right here, Notorious. Yeah, Pooney hit that rookie wall at the end of the season. He had some good games late, but yeah, it got worse and worse and worse. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, got to have intelligence. We're talking Jake Brindle. Yeah, he's got that in spades. Intelligence, toughness. You want to love Jake Brindle? Intelligence, toughness. That dude doesn't miss snaps, plays through everything, makes all the right calls. I get that. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. I can't win with him. Won't do it. Like, the coach in me, I lose my mind when players quit during the play. Oh my gosh. I don't know, man. There's just certain things that I'm not going to compromise on. I'm sorry. I can't do it. You're getting what you pay for. You are getting what you pay for in Jake Brindle right here. Brindle gets a lot of stuff and he's paid pennies on the dime. I agree. Invader. Yeah, that's awesome. And we have our weaknesses, and at Brindle's salary, he's a steal. Where is Jake Brindle as far as highest paid centers? Ooh, that is a good question. I got, let me pull this up real quick because I need to get a drink of coffee real quick. So I want to pull up where Jake Brindle is paid on centers and try to, again, is it worth it? Because I think that it is, but it's still, I think criticism will take place.
Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. So this season, stop celebrating like it's 2009 and start betting like it's 2025. Whether you're hammering spreads, chasing the lines, riding money shot parlays, my favorite, teasers are my favorite bet ever. And like, I just tell people this all the time, you're betting with the odds and with the house instead of against it. Check out teasers if you haven't done it. It's our specialty, and it's where we make most of our money. But MyBookie is your one-stop sportsbook and casino in one. So one account, one wallet. You bet football all weekend. Then you want to play slots. You want to play blackjack. It's all. You don't have to switch apps. No jumping platforms. Just straight-up action. And if you're new to MyBookie, man, they've got a new huge promo. Use our code 49ers, 49ERS, on your first bet, up to $500, it's fully covered. So you make your play. If it doesn't hit, you get it right back with a bet back bonus. No stress. And it comes with just a one-time rollover on return bet. So you're free to reload and keep firing. If you don't know about reloads, ask them their customer service. Trust me, that is there. But again, a one-time rollover, that is huge. So sign up at mybookie.ag, code 49ers, 49ERS. Claim your bet back bonus. Make this football season the one where bragging rights come with a bankroll. My bookies, where bettors win together, because bragging's good, but cashing in is better. All right, Jake Brindle, if we're looking at average salary per year, is getting, where is it at right here? $4.1 million per year. Definitely not a top. Yeah, I mean, the top center, Creed Humphrey, who we could have drafted, whatever. $18 million, Cam Jurgens. I love both those guys. $17 million, Drew Dahman, love that guy. $14 million, dude, I freaking crush evaluating centers. I'm sorry. Anyway, those are your top paid centers. So you've got one, two, three, four, five centers making over $10 million a year. Jake Brindle's tied, or he's not even tied. He's the 13th highest paid center. There are 32 starting centers in the NFL. He's 13th at $4.1 million per year. He's 13th. Do I think that Jake Brindle's the 13th best center in the NFL? No. I think that he's the 13th best pass blocking center in the NFL. I'm cool with that. Again, if you're one of the guys that hates injuries, Jake Brindle doesn't get hurt. He plays every damn snap. That has value. He knows what to do. That has value. Is he number 13th overall? No, he was 34th. He was 34th rated center last year. There's only 32 teams. He's the 13th highest paid center. Now, most of the centers behind him, Graham Barton, okay, his rookie deal. Tyler Lindebaum, rookie deal. Austin Corbett's not on a rookie deal. I'd take him over. Bradley Christensen's not on a rookie deal. I'd take him over. Josh Myers, Danny Pinter. Let's see, Luke Ford. And then you get into the guys where it's like, oh, yeah, you don't want those guys. But as far as just like where they're paid average, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18, if you're looking at like guarantees, yeah, that he's getting paid for what he wants. I think you're getting what you pay for. And that's the 49ers, how they wanted to build. Do not value offensive line. You've got Trent and a bunch of guys. I think Colton McKivitz is my argument. I think the argument that other people make for Jake Brindle is how I feel about Colton McKivitz. Colton McKivitz, on the other hand, that dude is 100% underpaid. 100% underpaid. Man, you got to scroll down. Good gosh, where is Colton McKivitz at for right tackle pay? Is he that low? All right, let's see here. I'm trying to find it. You got to scroll down forever. Why is he here? Yeah, geez. 34th. Colton McKivitz is the 34th paid right tackle. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That dude's getting $2.3 million. He's making less than Jake Brindle at a more premium position. Dude, that might be the best contract on the 49ers right now. Demo might be too. McKivitz, dude, yeah, and again, is McKivitz perfect? No, but here's the difference. There are 32 centers in the NFL that play. There are 64 tackles. That's times two. That's times two. You know how many tackles? This is just right tackles. You know how many right tackles are making over $10 million? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 right tackles are making double-digit millions per year. Colton McKivitz is making 2.5. I'm sorry, 2.3. Damn. Colton McKivitz getting paid next year. He don't even have to play as good as he played this year. Everybody talk about Juwan Jennings holding out. Dude, if there's one player on this team that should be holding out, it's Colton McKivitz. He's not, and I'm thankful. Dude, Colton McKivitz is a freaking stud. 34th paid right tackle. What happens? I don't even know if I can count this low. Yeah, let's just do tackles. Do they have that here? Oh, my gosh.
He's all the way down in the 60s for highest paid tackle. That is batshit crazy. Yeah. Y'all want to be upset about a contract? Colton McKivitz. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, y'all hated McGlinchey too. Mike McGlinchey's the fourth highest paid right tackle. Mike McGlinchey's making $17.5 million a year. Colton McKivitz is better. Colton McKivitz is more consistent. He's not as good in the run game as McGlinchey is. He's better in the pass game and a little bit less in the run game. Oh, my gosh. Maybe I need that Colton McKivitz jersey. This is last year on the team. Whoo. Ooh. Man. I didn't even know. Look at y'all. Y'all come at me with your Jake Brindle. I raise you, Colton McKivitz. Oh, man. I freaking love it. That is the contract that people need. Like, that is just, whoo. Right here, Strawberry. McKivitz might have been their best O-lineman last year. I agree. With Trent coming in with no camp, it's McKivitz and Pooney. I think, you know, if I'm ranking offensive linemen right now, Trent Williams by himself. Colton McKivitz. Do I want to put Dominique Pooney in that tier? I think so. Yeah. So, like, you've got Trent by himself. The next tier by themselves is Colton McKivitz first, then Dominique Pooney, then giant drop. Giant drop. And then Jake Brindle, Ben Bartsch, right? Like, I don't put Brindle in that territory at all. Like, God, Colton freaking McKivitz. I'm just saying, Moody. McKivitz plus Brindle plus Moody. One of those names do not belong in that conversation, my friend. Do not. And I mean, we saw what's his name's getting paid, and he's starting for the freaking Spencer Burford. Goodness, it's right there. Where is it? The right tackle for the Chiefs, Jalen Moore. Like, yeah, McKivitz does not belong in that at all. But back to this idea. What is the difference and similarities between the 2025 Niners and 2017 49ers? The dependent on youth and new players, same as 2017 and 2019. The difference, coaching the same, but now you've got all this experience for Robert Saleh, Kyle Shanahan, Brent Boyer, but you've got six all-pro players. You have a franchise quarterback. Diamandour Lenore, which doesn't fit into any of those categories. And then you've got four super sophomores, Pearsall, Pooney, Green, Mustafa. Like, they're similar to 2017. And I understand the whole reset and the cap and all the dead money. You lead in the NFL, I think one of the highest almost ever. Yeah, I get that. And the salary cap's a mess. You got to fix it. You're paying $91 million for people to play for other teams this year. And that's stupid. But it's where you are, and you got to take your medicine. And the Niners are taking it. You got $40 million cap left over right now. You can't spend it because you got to roll it forward because you've got so many other bad contracts that you got to deal with. But the difference is that they locked down the blue chips, and they have the experience now. So, yeah, you've got rookies playing all over this place. You're going to be breaking the record for most rookie snaps on offense and defense probably in the whole entire Kyle Shanahan era. Going to be breaking the record this year. But you also have Hall of Famers that are ready and established. Remember, that 2017 team, they just had two Pro Bowlers. And they weren't even starting Pro Bowlers. It was Kyle Juszczyk and Joe Staley. That was it. This year, you could have 12 Pro Bowlers. Like, it could be there. It's not going to happen because of injuries, you know, who's who and who stays healthy and whatever else. But, like, this Niners team is stacked whenever you're looking at top-tier talent. It's the depth that is gone. So you've got the youth of 2017, but you still have the Pro Bowl all pros. It's going to be an up and down year because you're relying on so many youngsters. But that schedule, the coaching, the blue chip players are going to carry you. Oh, I'm pretty excited about this. Gav, I hope they smash that rookie record. Let the future cook. Yeah, this could be the foundation for a long time coming. That's the difference, or that's what you're hoping the similarity is between 2017, right? Where you build the foundation, where you build it. And it took that 2019 year of drafting Bosa, you know, Debo, Greenlaw.
those three guys took you to the Super Bowl in their rookie year because they all got playing time, right? Can this year reflect that? I don't want to talk Super Bowl, but I want to talk playoffs. I want to talk division titles because that is on the cusp. That is on the table this year. You handle your business and you stay relatively healthy. A division title is there. It's for the taking. They're literally favored by Vegas to win the division. That is there. You win the division, you make it to the race. Then let's get weird. Let's see what happens. You never know. But like the idea of, Super Bowl window, all that stuff, throw that away. Get to the dance, make stuff happen. Do they have the roster to do that? Yes. Can they overcome the inconsistency of the rookies? We'll see. The coaching staff, you're hoping, makes up for some of that. It's going to be a fun year, man. It's our last Sunday, guys. It's our last Sunday without NFL football, baby. And next week, I will be with you guys in Seattle, hopefully. Go get your tickets. Have to say thank you to the executive producers that make this happen. Corey Robbins, 49ers Storage 365, and David Gill. You are the best of the best. I'm wearing my Niners hat. That's right, baby. Support your team when they lose. I don't give a damn. I will take all the hate. I'm a fan. Hate. I do not care. But I love you guys. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.